Thank you, Gabriela. I would like to invite James. He wants to talk to the church at this moment. We'll give him some time so he can explain.
Happy Sabbath. I just wanted to share with you a bit of more about what's been going on here in Aiken and how the Lord has been using this church and how in this community. This past Monday, Gloria and I, we actually went out to visit one of my contacts. And I had only met this lady once. She's young, probably around early 30s, African-American. And as we were talking with her, we were blown away by her knowledge and her love for the Lord. And, you know, have you ever met someone that when you're talking with them, their spirit just takes your breath away? Basically, that's what happened to us. This woman, she was so on fire for God. She had been sharing on how the Lord was working in her life, how she needs to die to herself. And you could see the spirit of the Lord in her eyes. You could see the earnestness in it. And when we left, Gloria and I, we were just so amazed. And this person had never discovered the truths of the Sabbath, never discovered some of the other biblical principles yet. And she's just on this journey. And that's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that there are young people that are on fire for the Lord right here in Aiken, South Carolina. I wanted to read to you a Bible verse here. In Psalms 127, verse 1. And the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house. Okay, so unless the Lord builds the what? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. You know, we can try to build the house of the Lord or even build our own houses as much as we want. But we'll see with our hands, through our efforts, it's going to be in vain. But if we let the Lord build that house for us, if we let the Lord lead, then the Lord will be able to show us. How many of you here want to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Amen. You know, friends, we have an opportunity to do that exact thing. And we have an event, like it was mentioned earlier, at 5 p.m. today. 5 p.m. today. And what it is it's going to be a training on how you can better share God's word. How you can better share God's word. And it's something that you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss. So if you feel impressed that the Lord is leading you, I invite you to come. Thank you.
Thank you, James, for sharing that. We are really happy to have you here. Anyone here remember what is the reason for these little banners that we have in the wall? All right, Claudette, what is the reason for the banners?
For new people coming to
the church. All right, it's for new people, but it's also for us too, right?
They can feel like they belong with us.
Right. Everybody needs a place where you feel that you belong, and we hope that the Aiken Church made you feel welcome and that you belong here. The other step is what? Believe, and it's important for the life of the Christian, right? Believe indicates that you have a connection with Christ, that you are being transformed. Without believing, coming to the church is kind of like pointless, right? Meaningless. So what do you think it will be the next step in this ladder here? What do you think it will be the next logical step in this ladder? Any suggestions? What do you expect from somebody who already belongs to the church, and I get wrong this thing. They belong to the church and they start believing. So what will be the next logical step in this ladder?
Sharing their faith.
Yeah, that's important. Let me give you my last banner. I don't want to keep you holding forever, right? And this one is, we need to take this one with care. Thank you.
Right? I put it in the behave, right? Behavior. You see, I grew up in the 80s, and I remember watching on TV the most famous speaker here in the U.S. You remember that? Pastor Bill Graham was preaching in North Carolina, and around the world, people was watching these things. And it was very impressive for us seeing thousands and thousands of people accepting the call to give their lives to Jesus. So do you think it's important to give your life to Jesus? And we all go through that process, right? You remember, in occasions we don't remember exactly when that happened, but in occasions we do, on a specific moment that I give my life to Jesus. And then we ask the people, well, after you give your life to Jesus, what is next? What will happen next? You believe in God now, you decide that you want to put your life in harmony with the Lord. So what is next for a Christian? Are you at the end of the road? Have you accomplished everything that is expected to accomplish for a Christian? Or we need to continue developing and growing? Right, so we enter into this stage of behaving, right? And behaving is quite complicated because some people can put so much emphasis in behavior then instead of being something that is the natural result of loving God, and instead of that become something very legalistic, right? I'm behaving this way because I want to impress my wife, or I want to impress my family, or I want to impress my colleagues or my neighbors. So why do you behave good? Why people behave good today? It should be because we love God, correct? That's the answer that I'm looking for. But people behave good for many reasons, right? You want to continue having your job, so you are behaving good at work, right? You don't do what you normally do at home. So at work, you are different. You behave good at the club because you want to continue being a member of that particular club. If you misbehave, they will probably expel you from there. Or if you are in a school, you need to accept the rules of the school, because if you don't abide by the rules, you know, the system will push you out, right? And so behavior is like not necessarily something that you get from their heart, right? It can be something that it can apply to us or that we embrace for many reasons, among them selfishness. And so this is what we are studying today, something about behavior. And I will ask Brian, before we move into that, Brian, do you have the picture that I sent you? Please put that picture on the screen. I asked Brian to put this picture on the screen, and what I did is send it by text, and he connected with his computer at home, and then from his computer at home, send it to the computer at church, and then that's what we have right there. Very simple thing. Don't ask me how he did it. This is our current invitation for the series that we'll have here in January. And you notice this is Christ, and you had the beast, and it's kind of like a connection between the prophecies and Christ at the center. And we will be targeting the community of Aiken, which have around 30,000 people. This is a big community, a big city. And we hope that people will respond to this seminar. The majority of you will get a calendar, but this event is starting January 8th and go through January, February, and we'll go through March. And it's quite long, right? But it won't be the whole week. It's only a few days of the week. So please keep that in your prayers because we need a lot of support with this. Now we will transition to our sermon. So I was asking you about behaving and behavior, right? And the question that I have for you is possible for a human being to change your heart, the way that we think? What do you think? Well, you are giving me the right answer, right? Because you know the answer already. Can somebody change their behavior without the help of God? It is impossible, right? And we have some scriptures to prove that. This is the most common scripture that we quote, right? Jeremiah 13:23. What the Bible said about that? Can people from Ethiopia change their skin? Can the leopards change their spots? It is the same with you. You are always doing what is evil. How you can do what is what? What is good. So it's in our nature to be what? Bad. This is what we are, right? That's our nature. We are selfish. And in occasions, we don't even realize that. You know, we We are always being in the same way, and we don't realize that we have certain issues, certain problems, until somebody pointed out to us, or maybe through the studying of the Bible, you discover these issues, right? God is kind of like revealing these things to you. And it's important that you have this spiritual attitude, that you ask God to reveal the challenges that you have in your life. Because I mentioned during Sabbath school, we were studying about this, and I was mentioning that it's easy for us to spot the mistakes that other people make than to see our own mistakes, right? We had the tendency to see other people's mistakes, but when it's in reference to my mistakes, I think that I am perfect and that I'm ready to go through heaven. Now, that's far away from the truth. So also you have this quote here in Romans 3:10. It is written, what? No one is right with God, no one at all. And so where this is written, Paul is quoting the Old Testament, and I want you to read, that's the Bible reading that we used at the beginning, remember? This is Psalm 14:1 through 3. And the Bible is saying, foolish people say in their hearts, there is no God, right? The ones who deny the existence of God. They do all kind of horrible and evil things, and no one does anything good. And notice the way and how the nouns are presented in this sentence. There are no one is doing anything good. The Lord looks down from heaven to all people, right? And he wants to see if there is anyone who understands. He wants to see if there is anyone who trusts in God. All of them have turned away. They all become evil. No one does anything good. No one at all. And when the Bible is saying no one at all, do you think that includes you and me? Yes. That's the basic description of a human being. That's what we are. You know, when society was turning into the 20th century, a lot of people who was very excited about the technological advances, they were thinking that the 20th century will bring a new era of peace and development where human beings will learn to love each other and that we don't have any more wars, that we will tackle problems like hunger and poverty and many other issues that they are, you know, plaguing the world today. And they were thinking the world will be different in the 20th century. So what happened in the 20th century? More wars, more problems, more hangers, more social issues. What about 2017? Now we are in the 21st century. Now we are better than ever, right? We don't have any racial issues today. Everybody loves each other, right? You belong to the Kumbaya church here in Aiken. We had the right mix. We are trying to get, hey, pay attention to this part, right? Heaven will look like this. Let me give you an idea. People from all the races, all the genders, all different backgrounds, right? Don't get surprised if you are there. You know, we are want to look into be in there. But that's what God is trying to accomplish, right? So Christians are called to be different, and the reason for we are called to be different is because we are witness of Christ, right? So that means that you need to behave what? Better, right? If you behave like everyone else, then what is the difference? What is the point of belonging to a church trying to claim that you are a disciple of Christ? So the whole point of saying that you belong to Christ is because something is happening in your heart and somehow you are changing, right? That you are being transformed. And so that's what I was mentioning at the beginning. Thousands and thousands of people, they are very excited. They say yes to the Lord. They accept Jesus Christ. But they never transition into the part that you are surrendering everything to the Lord. And what God is expecting us to do, that is live in harmony and obedience to God, right? So one thing is to claim that you love God, and another thing is living if you really love God. These two different things. But Ephesians 4:17-24 kind of like is presenting us an invitation to this, a new challenge for us, right? Here Paul is saying the following. Here is what I'm telling you. I am speaking for the Lord, as I warned you, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. So when he is using this word Gentiles, he is trying to express the idea that people that don't know anything about God, right? That they live in ignorance of God, they don't know anything about the scripture. So people who doesn't know about God, or who doesn't know anything about the Bible, what they do? How the people live today outside when they don't know anything about the Bible? What is good or what is bad? How do you establish what is good or what is bad? But okay, you're talking about the moral law and the moral code and the Ten Commandments. All these things come from the Bible. But if you don't believe in the Bible, you don't believe that you need to give accountants to God, you can do whatever you want, right? Really bad things, terrible things, because you don't expect to give accountability of your life to anyone. You know, the other day somebody was asking me, Pastor, do you believe in the judgment? What do you think? God will judge people. Because some people have this idea that God is such a loving and tender Father that somehow He will allow everyone to enter into heaven because that's His nature of love. That's what the Bible say. What do you think? Well, the Bible is clear when the Bible say that we need to give account of our life to God. We will be judged. We will have to explain to God what we did and why, right? And better you prepare your own reasons. But Paul is telling them, don't live like the Gentiles do. Their thoughts don't have any purpose. They can understand the truth. Of course, you don't understand the truth because you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't read the scripture. You are pretty much disconnected from that. They are separated from the life of God. That's because they don't know Him. They don't know whom. They don't know God. They don't know about Jesus. The moment that you start knowing about Jesus, then you start believing in Him. And a relationship is happening, and your life becomes transformed, right? Doesn't stay the same way. And they don't know Him because their hearts are what? Stubborn, right? Are you a stubborn person or no? We'll discuss that later, but I feel that I am. So they had lost all feelings for what is right. Whom? The people that they live like the Gentiles, the ones who don't know anything about God, right? So they had given themselves over all kinds of evil pleasures. They take part in every kind of unclean act, and they are full of greed. It's interesting that he mentioned greed in there, right? So the love for money is kind of like one of the symptoms that you are living away from God. But that's not the way of life in Christ that you learn about, right? You hear about Christ, that we were taught about life in Him, that you will learn the truth about Jesus. You were taught not to live the way that you used to. You must get rid of your old way of life. So when Paul is saying here that we used to be like that and no longer anymore, that means that something has happened to you and to me, right? You are not the same person when you met Jesus 20 years ago. It should be that you are different, right? You encounter new things in Scripture. The Lord has revealed these things to you. They are not always easy, but He is challenging you to change, right? To be transformed. We cannot continue being the same people. So you must get rid of your old way of life. That's because he has been made impure by the desire for things that can lead you astray. You were taught to make new in your thinking. And I was underlining that because I feel that that's the process of transformation in a Christian person, right? God is working in the way that we think. Because if you can change the way somebody thinks, you change what? You change the behavior. Right. So that's the only way that you can do it. But we established that without God's help, this is impossible for what? For any person, right? You are trying to accomplish something that is impossible. So the only way to do it is through an external power, and that's acquired through faith in the power of God, right? So we are supposed to have a new way of thinking. You were taught to start living in a new life. It is created to be truly good and holy, just as God is. Right? Because if we want to spend eternity in heaven with God, we need to be like Him, to enjoy His presence and His company. So kind of like it makes sense that this transformation happened. So let me give you an example of somebody that was transformed by the power of God, the Bible. In my Bible study that we had Wednesday here at the church, we were studying this week about John, the beloved disciple, right? And I don't know if you know this, but Jesus gave a nickname to John and his brother. Right? And let's do the reading. This is found in Mark 3, 16 and 17. So Jesus appointed the 12 disciples. Simon was one of them. Jesus gave him the name Peter. Right? There were James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And Jesus gave them the name Boanerges. Boanerges means sons of the thunder. And for the ones who don't know, the nickname is kind of like a reflection of their character. So how is a thunder? How you will describe a thunder to somebody that is blind? It's very loud, right? You will say that the thunder is coming after the lightning, and it's unexpected, and it's scary, right? That we don't control thunder. So if somebody's telling that you have a character like the thunder, so what they're saying about you? Very explosive, right? This is the kind of person that you don't want to mess around, because the moment that you say something wrong, they will slap you in the face right there, right? So some people is like that. And I was talking to my father-in-law. By the way, my father and mother-in-law, they're here, and that's what I'm behaving very well. No, I have to. I don't want to have problems with my family. I was talking to my father-in-law. He's an elder in a Seventh-day Adventist Hispanic church in New York for more than 30 years. And we were talking about people that is very sensitive, you know, church members. And in a specific, a person that they can get offended really easily. And I'm speaking about people that belongs to the church, right? And we need to be careful with that, because if you get offended really easily, what is an indication of? What that is telling you about yourself? If you get offended really easily, what is the problem there? Is that people is always mean with you? That's what you think? Everybody's against you? So what is the problem? The problem is our character, right? Our temper. Very quick temper. So that's kind of like an indicator. You know, God is interested in the way that he works with us, right? He places under circumstances that will help you to notice who you really are. Let me give you an example. The other day, I was at the gym. This is a true story. It happened to me this week. And I decide that I'm using the machine to do some leg work, you know. So I start lifting the wheels, and every wheel is 45 pounds, and put it in this machine. And think about it, it's like around 7:30 in the morning. So my half of my brain is still asleep, you know. And somehow, I don't know what happened, lifting one of these things slipped from my hands and go directly to the ground, probably from this high. And guess where it fell? On top of my right foot, right there, you know, like, man, I just didn't have time to say anything. I just stay in pain. And then I look around and I saw this lady who was doing some exercise there looking at me with this smile, right? So like, oh, what I do? You know, I say, oh, how you doing? You know, I just wake up and then lift the thing, put it in there. Of course, my pride as a man, you know, I'm going to start crying in there in front of the lady, you know. So I just put the thing in there and I start walking around and, you know, trying to do my exercise for a few seconds and then run away from the place, because I feel embarrassed and humiliated, right? I wasn't expecting that for a wake up in the morning, you know. But life is like that. You wake up and you think that your day is beautiful, everything is fine, you get out to the office to work, and then right there, the problem is waiting for you. You don't expect that, right? Or something happening in the family, somebody gets sick. Many things that happen to us all the time. So life can hit you like that, and your character gets tested. And the reaction that you have to that problem, it's an indication that what is going on in your life, right? So when Jesus gave the nickname to these two guys, it's because they were really angry people, right? And let me give you a simple story that is found in Luke 51 through 55. The story describes what happened to these two gentlemen, right? The time grew near for Jesus to be taken up to heaven. That's according to Luke. So he made up his mind to go to Jerusalem. Who made his mind? Jesus. So he sent messengers on ahead, and they went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome Jesus, right? The people of the village. So that was because he was heading for Jerusalem. That's the explanation. Samaritans and Jewish people, they didn't like each other. So if they noticed that you were going to Jerusalem, they didn't want to help you at all, right? The disciples, James and John, saw this. And they asked Jesus, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them? Why they were asking for that? They feel that these people disrespected Jesus and that they will be punished right away. Right? And I had to tell you, I had the same issue too. When I hear some people speaking in such a way about God or Jesus, like, oh, really? I just wait, like, I wish, like, you could get a strike right now. Like, Lord, do something, and, you know, break his leg or something. You know. Simple little things like that. I'm asking for much. That's the same spirit that they have right there. This is a spirit of revenge. It's a spirit of hate. And, you know, God is interested in how he worked with us again. But Jesus turned and commanded not to do it. So don't do it. You are doing something wrong, right? The main mission for Jesus to come to this planet was to save people, not to destroy them. And that's the reason that he explained, don't do it, right? Then Jesus and his disciples went on to another village. So he moved on. So it's just an indication of James and John's character. They were very easily get angered and offended. And, you know, you find now this in 1 John, which is one of the latest letters that the apostle wrote. And this is always kind of like blow my mind. For this message that you hear from the beginning, that you should love one another. Who is saying that? Who? This is John, the son of thunder. The guy that was asking for fire to come from heaven and consume these people. And now he's saying here that we should love what? So what happened? How this man who was such an angry person become like that? And I need to know the answer because I had the same problem, right? Maybe you don't have the problem, but I do. So I need to find out why, how he did it, right? So let's continue reading. We know that he had come from God if we obey his commands. So the commands and how is an important indication there, right? So suppose someone says, I know him, meaning God, right? But suppose this person does not know what God commands, that this person is a liar and he's not telling you the truth. So if you say that you love God, you need to know what made God happy, what is pleasing to the Lord, right? How do you know that? As a Christian today, how you learn about God? You need to study the Word of God, right? Praying about that, and the Lord will impress on you the things that you need to change, right? Continue reading. This is in the same chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Suppose someone claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister, right? You come to church, you are very nice dressed, you are a vegetarian or vegan, but you hate your neighbor. Do you think it's a problem there? Yeah, that's what the Bible is saying here. But he hates his brother or sister. Then they are still in the darkness. Whom? The person who is claiming to be a Christian. How they know they are in darkness? Because they had hate in their hearts, right? Anyone who loves his brother and sister lives in the light. Right, that's interesting there. There is nothing in them to make them fall into the sin. But anyone who hates a brother or sister, it is in the darkness. They walk around in darkness. They don't know where they are going. The darkness has made them what? Blind. So this is an indicator. You remember that when they asked Jesus what are the most important two commandments, he simplified the Ten Commandments in two. You remember that, right? The first commandment is supposed to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. But what is the key element in that commandment? Love God, right? And the second commandment is what? Similar to this, love what? Your neighbor like yourself. So what John is presenting here is nothing new. They already knew about this. What John is presenting here is that the bottom line for a Christian to know that they really know, love God is to love the people that they can see. Because we can claim that we love God, we don't see him, but we can hate the people that we see around us, right? So that's kind of like a misconception right there. So the Bible is also presenting us with a challenge. So what is the challenge for a Christian who wants to change behavior? If you want to behave like a Christian, what we need to do? Yes, the answer is right there in front of you, right? Surrender. How often do you need to surrender? Every day. Because I don't care how old you are, you need to continue doing that. This is a daily effort that you are giving your life under the control of the Holy Spirit. So God can impress your mind and use you and use me. So the changes in behavior are the result of what? Believing in God, surrendering your life to him. It's an act of faith, right? You are believing in God, you are accepting his work as the truth, and you are giving everything to him. The word of God starts transforming the power in your mind. This is not what the Bible said in Romans 12:1. Be transformed in your mind, right? Because God wants to change the way that we think. This is how God is trying to accomplish this. So, my dear church family, when I present this little illustration here to you about the belong, the behave, and I'm sorry, the belong, believe, and behave, this is something that all Christian churches use all the time. But let me explain something to you. Some churches will tell you that you need to behave first before you belong. Right? They will tell you, you want to be part of this church? Great! But you need to what? Behave. Because they are measuring you in the way that you behave. Do you think that's the right way? That's not the right motivation for behavior. That's the wrong motivation. Right? The right motivation for behavior is that we behave in this way because we completely love God and we want to give everything to Him. This is the answer from your heart. That's the honest answer that God is expecting us from us. I just want to finish when this quote here that is found in, let me see if I can change this. This is Philippians 2, 6 through 11. And it seems that this portion of the scripture used to be a hymn, all hymn, all song. The way that is found in the scripture is like a poem. And it's describing the way that Jesus Christ thinks, right? So if you want to be like Jesus Christ, let's do our reading in here. In his very nature, he was God, Jesus Christ, right? Jesus was equal with God, but Jesus didn't take advantage of that fact. Instead, he made himself nothing. He did this by taking of the nature of the servant, and he was just like a human being. He appeared as a man. He was humble and obeyed God completely. He did this even though it led to his death. Even worse, he died on a cross. And if we continue reading, this is the last part of this song. So God lifted him up to the highest place. So God gave him the name that is above every name. So when the name of Jesus is spoken, everyone will kneel down to worship him. Everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth will kneel down to worship him. Everyone's mouth will say that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and God the Father will receive the glory. Amen? It's a beautiful point. When I read this, it really made me think about how much love Jesus had for us. Because he was able to endure all this humiliation for someone like me. And that is just impressive, right? I feel that he is continuously trying to show you that how much he loves you. So the behavior that we are encouraging you to do today is not a behavior that this is a result of you in trying to impress God, or you are trying to impress your wife, or you are trying to impress someone else. This is the behavior that is a result of you loving God and the love of God working in your heart. You do the things that you do because you love him. Amen? And that's the end of the speech. We don't behave this way because we don't try to, you know, get faster to heaven. We are doing this because we want to surrender everything and love God. Dear church, I just want you to think about this in your way home today. I'm pretty sure that God continued talking to you. I believe that God continues speaking to people. He does through scripture. He continues speaking to you through family members, somebody who loves you deeply, and they will tell you the truth. Right, because only somebody who really cares for you and loves you will tell you the truth. But these people that, you know, God loves you and the Bible loves you, and many of the things that in occasions somebody tells us is not the most pleasant thing that we want to hear. And most of the time it's something that we need to improve and we need to change or we need to give up to God. So my prayer for you is whatever God impresses in your heart, listen to his voice and allow him to continue working in your heart. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, today we want to surrender everything to you. And Father, we want to confess to you that we are very selfish, that we are very prideful people, that we don't want to give you the control. We need your help to be transformed, to be changed, to continue growing in faith to the stature and the measure of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father, for listening to our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed day.